It's no secret the holidays are going to look a little different this year.
For sure. I'm already planning my virtual dinner parties and, of course, caroling sessions.
We may not be able to see everyone we love in person this year, but we can certainly let them know we're thinking of them in the form of memorable and personalized gifts.
Etsy remains the best place to get quality, handmade, and heartfelt gifts for the people in your life, inspired by the things they love.
There's so many choices, and Etsy sellers run the gamut, from home goods and decor to artwork, clothing, and jewelry. And the best part is everything is totally unique, from handmade pieces to one-of-a-kind vintage items.
So Megan, if you wanted to get me a gift, you know I love a nice cheese plate, so naturally I'm eyeing so many of the beautiful handcrafted cheese boards available from a variety of sellers.
And for our Housewives fans out there, there are amazing wine glasses, perfect to pair with your next pour and binge session this holiday season.
Wine and cheese at Shea Eric J. Mack. It'll take my quarantine snacking to the next level.
Etsy is making my holiday shopping so much more special this year, and I cannot wait to see my friends and family open their gifts.
This holiday season, shop Etsy to gift like you mean it. Go to Etsy.com/gifts to shop meaningful gifts for the people you love.
That's Etsy.com/gifts.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Below Deck is back, and of course, we're covering Season 8.
For Season 8, we're bringing you recaps even earlier to help you get through the week. So make sure to subscribe so you never miss a minute of discussion.
Well, let's get into it. Okay, so I have never thought about Captain Lee's dick before, and then he had that line at the beginning of the episode about having his dick in his hands, and boom, there was the visual.
This is the ship's bell. When you're in really rough weather, you'll hear that.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you're hearing it, you probably shouldn't be where you're at.
I'm buying time. And if the caviar doesn't show up, I'm sitting here with my dick in my hand.
So what do you think?
I mean, like, honestly, in my mind, I did picture it in this sort of like ridiculously over the top, like cartoonish way where it was just like like an animated dick just like flopping out. Like, and it was just something that I was like, oh, man, like it was just such a graphic thing to say that I was just like, woof, did not see that coming, Captain Lee.
Yeah, I love how he knows how to put out those one liners. He really does.
Yeah, he has a way with words for sure. It's not my way, but it's a way. Okay, so this whole caviar situation is clearly stressing Rachel out. Now Eddie's involved. He's going to pick it up from the provisions, like on the tender. He's off into the night. I mean, did caviar absolutely need to be the first thing that she served? Couldn't she have done a little rearranging and just like the timing of it all? Just like, I feel like she set herself up for that stress.
It's my God. Oh my God, where the is this f***ing caviar?
Are you f***ing kidding me?
Some f***ing bullshit.
Still no caviar.
I also think that if you just look at any sort of Below Deck history, the guests often don't remember what they put on their preference sheets, because so often they'll like have a dish and like, why did they serve me this? And the chef will be like, it was on your preference sheet. What are you talking about? I think that they, what is it that Dorinda used to say? Like, write it, regret it.
Say it, forget it, write it, regret it. No, it's true. I mean, I don't think anybody asked about the caviar. And I think it was something Rachel knew was on somebody's preference sheet. And maybe they were like, yeah, we do want that one of the nights or whatever. But it seems like she just took it to a whole new level. And then just having it be that first course, like, couldn't it have been the second? Just like, give yourself some time here, some buffer time for Eddie to come back from, you know, the shore with the caviar.
Exactly.
Oh, and okay, so I want to know what you're thinking about what's happening with Shane, because he's really just not cutting it. And I don't totally appreciate this nickname that Captain Lee and Eddie have come up with, the sunshine. It's coming across a little bit emasculating, and I feel like that's the intention. And
yeah.
I don't love that, but he really isn't pulling his weight on this boat as much as he may be trying.
It just sort of reminds me of any right out of college kid. You don't know what you're doing. That's the whole point. Like, think about your first job out of college. Like, first of all, to have some sort of nickname like that is really demeaning. But secondly, yeah. I just think it the situation is terrible all around because there isn't a larger crew to help him learn. Eddie doesn't have the time. It seems like they're barely able to stay afloat. And so it's just not the best learning environment, you know, but at the same time, I do think he's making mistakes that he'll come to appreciate how not to do them again. You know, the whole phone, not waking up in time. That's a pretty big one.
Gene.
Yeah.
Why aren't you on deck at 7:37?
Oh.
My phone died last night. God damn it.
So sorry, right there. My phone dies.
So dude, I even had my alarm set so I was gonna be on deck 30 minutes earlier.
Worst part is Eddie had to wake me up.
Oh, really?
My phone was completely dead.
It was so stupid. So stupid, Shane.
And I feel like sometimes you have to make those huge mistakes in life to learn from them.
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, his age comes into play in that he is green, he's young, he's new to this whole thing, but he does have plenty of time to get it right. Even if this moment on this boat with this particular job isn't it, that doesn't mean that this is the end of this career path for him. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's not looking good. By the end of this episode, he's sitting down with just Eddie and Captain Lee, and that just like isn't a promising scenario for Shane.
Yeah, my guess is it doesn't end well for Shane.
Well, it's not like Shane is the only one though who doesn't really seem to be there to work. We're seeing it a little bit on the interior too, where Elizabeth is also not really pulling her weight, and it must be tough to be third stew and you're just down in the belly of the ship, like doing laundry, turning beds over. You know, you're not really enjoying the atmosphere that you are actually a part of, but that's what comes with the job.
You just seem like down.
No way.
I'm just tired.
I feel like I'm like smiling though.
Not miserable, just like
I feel like I'm trying to make an effort to like
be happy. Like,
yeah.
That's right.
Like I f-ing get it. The interior is not fun. You are inside of this boat 24/7 working under like this dictator in this stressful job. I'm really f-ing glad that I got out.
It's not that I'm like upset. I'm just literally f-ing tired and I wanna like swim and live my life, but I gotta work.
Yeah, I mean, really, I am curious, and maybe we could ask Kate Chastain this at some point because she's so great to talk to about below deck questions.
Yeah.
How does one really learn, you know, except for being on the job? But then at the same time, you understand how someone like Francesca's coming from, where she's like, I don't have time to teach you.
Yeah, I know. But isn't that also a bit of what Francesca is there for? If not your boss, who are you supposed to learn from? I mean, I guess your fellow stews, your fellow deckhands, you know, you could definitely lean on your colleagues, the ones who are more your peers than your superiors, but they're getting paid the big bucks, at least more than you. I mean, not when it comes to tips, everyone gets split evenly, which I think is fair. But you know, Francesca's also there because she's in a leadership position and she's there for a reason. So maybe it does come down to her as well.
Right.
I will say this last meal that we see with the charter guests, well, at least the last dinner, the burrata, the lobster bisque. I mean, Rachel is just like speaking to my heart and my stomach with these dishes because like, what? Like, that sounds incredible.
Right? So good.
And then for Captain Lee to straight up be like, she's probably the best yacht chef I've ever worked with in, what was it, 30 years? I mean, that's wild.
I'm very impressed with what Rachel's doing in the galley.
Rachel, you're amazing.
Thank you very much.
In my 35 years as a charter yacht captain, I've never been this impressed.
The pride in your work is amazing.
It's a lot of fun to do this. I appreciate the opportunity.
We appreciate it too.
Thank you. I mean, she's the complete package. Everything you want in a charter chef.
I know, especially given, you know, that she does have such a quirky personality that I think just speaks to how good her food is, that he thinks that she's the complete package.
Right. If you were going on a charter and you had to fill out your preference sheet, what would be like the one stipulation other than like no meat, you know, but like what would be the one thing you'd want at one of your meals?
I think it's not so much a specific meal, but I often feel like there aren't enough snacky things. Like, yes. I just want to walk out and have like a quesadilla waiting, you know, or some chips and dips or a pizza late at night. And I feel like you get your three square meals and that's it. I'm more of a snacky person.
I know. That's actually a really good point. I feel like my preference sheet maybe would be no sit down meals, all just like food between like 10 a.m. and 12. And then again from like 2 to 4. And then like more food from 6 to 8. Like just like bring things out and leave it on the table and I'll come get it when I want to. But right. I do love... My preference sheet would also be like, I want to do the water sports in the morning because I loved on the, I think it was the last day or the second to last day of this charter where the guests were like, oh, actually before breakfast, I'd love to go jet skiing. I was like, 100% that would be my morning. Like I would be like, absolutely. Let me go work up an appetite on this jet ski real quick and then come back and have like a, what she had like foie gras. Like she was really doing it up for their final breakfast too.
You know what I wouldn't have on a preference sheet though? Themed. Anything.
I know.
It's just not my vibe. I don't really like a theme unless I'm attending someone else's party. And then of course you should get into it because you don't want to be rude. But like, I just, why? It just seems like effort for the person doing it.
Yeah. And I think more so than anything, instead of me picking the theme, I would want to see how the crew, you know, how they put together the various like tablescapes and things to sort of create their own. Like I'd want to like tap into their creativity.
Yeah.
Be like, go ahead and just like pick a theme for me.
Yeah, but don't make me go out and spend money on a costume. I don't want that.
Right. And my theme especially would not be white party. I feel like we've talked about this a few times. No way. And also white party, but we're going to chug red wine out of these decanters. Like, no.
There's a tradition that
There's
we've
a
done.
Tradition we have.
Two very important things in everybody's life. It's longevity and it's prosperity.
I agree.
The longer you drink it, your longevity. The further away from your mouth, your prosperity.
I am in so much trouble here.
Longevity and prosperity.
Okay. I'm not sure about all this.
Pull it out. Pull it. Pull it. Pull it.
Boy, that's gonna leave a mark.
Ugh, chugging red wine. It just is goes so against what red wine is about. Like you're supposed to enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like you sip, you enjoy. White wine, okay, maybe a little bit. It's kind of like you could get away with that. But I don't drink a lot of red wine because like I do have pretty bad acid reflux and I'm on medication now. But I had a glass the other day because my friend was over. We both tested negative for coronavirus, so it's all good.
I love that you have to like quickly like.
Put yeah, no, well, because she lives in the Berkshires normally, but she was down here, you know, for like just a couple nights, whatever. And she is a huge red wine drinker. And I was like, let me just have a little bit, like just pour a little bit in my glass. Like, I just want a few sips. It was like a Pinot Noir. And I was like, oh, this is delicious. But yeah, like chugging it, not what I wanted to do. I wanted to like delicately swirl it in the glass, take a few sips and just like really enjoy it. But like,
did the medication work?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like over the counter stuff that like I wasn't sure if I was allowed to keep using it. But my gastro guy was like, absolutely, it's totally fine. I was like, thank you.
Oh, you got a gastro guy.
I got a gastro guy. If you need a gastro guy, I got him. I got one. But yeah, what red wine won't be a full habit. It'll I'm gonna stick to like the white rosé kind of stuff, but oh, so good.
And we'll be back with our full episode on Saturday.
Bye.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.